Today's poems are all poems I discovered in creative writing workshops. A graduate student once told me, unfortunately I've forgotten the attribution, that the archetypal line of poetry that comes out of a workshop is, "I look out the window, and I am important." And there is a great deal of that sort of thing going on. But it is also the case, it's lucky for me, but unlucky for the Academy, that the following has been said so many times that it need no longer be attributed, that at many universities, the creative writing program is the last refuge for those who wish to study actual literature. I studied good poems in both locales, but as it happens, today's poems were all introduced to me by my creative writing teacher, Julie Agus. The first two are by Rainer Maria Rilke. I have always liked panthers. I have a crush on Bagheera and the Disney Jungle Book, and I have always liked Rilke's The Panther. But now the poem has added power for me because it reminds me of one of those moments when a parent helps her children grasp hands with the past. A few years ago, we had a membership to the Bronx Zoo and made several trips there in rapid succession. I don't know what it's like now, but at the time, the beautiful Victorian buildings of the zoo center were a sort of ghost town, and no one seemed to know what to do with them. At the same time, exhibits like Wild Asia were showing their age, which made me feel old because I remember Wild Asia when it was new, and a new idea. When I was a child, two kinds of zoo experiences were available simultaneously, the kind in which one rides in a tram and peers hopefully at a vast forest hoping to spot an animal, and the kind in which one guiltily stares at a panther, and I remember literally a panther in this situation, pacing on a concrete floor in a jail cell. The Panther. In the Jardin des Plantes, Paris. His vision, from the constantly passing bars, has grown so weary that it cannot hold anything else. It seems to him there are 1,000 bars, and behind the bars, no world. As he paces in cramped circles over and over, the movement of his powerful soft strides is like a ritual dance around a center in which a mighty will stands paralyzed. Only at times, the curtain of the pupils lifts quietly. An image enters in, rushes down through the tensed, arrested muscles, plunges into the heart, and is gone. I don't have nearly as much to say about the next poem. In fact, all I'm going to say is if I could ever write a last line as good as the last line in this poem, I would consider my life's work complete. The Grown-Up. All this stood upon her and was the world, and stood upon her with all its fear and grace, as trees stand, growing straight up, imageless yet holy image, like the Ark of God, and solemn as if imposed upon a race. And she endured it all, bore up under the swiftest flight, the fleeting, the far gone, the inconceivably vast, the still to learn, serenely as a woman carrying water moves with a full jug. Till in the midst of play, transfiguring and preparing for the future, the first white veil descended, gliding softly over her opened face, almost opaque there, never to be lifted off again, and somehow giving to all her questions just one answer. In you who were a child once. In you. That's my child making noise in the background. The next poem, an entitled one by Anna Akhmatova, shares with the grown-up the quality of one brilliant line. The memory of sun weakens in my heart. Grass turns yellow. Wind blows the early flakes of snow lightly, lightly. Already the narrow canals have stopped flowing. Water freezes. Nothing will ever happen here. Not ever. Against the empty sky, the willow opens a transparent fan. Maybe it's a good thing I'm not your wife. The memory of sun weakens in my heart. What's this? Darkness? It's possible. And this may be the first night of winter. And last I offer, Thanks Offering for Recovery by Robert Lowell. My copy of this poem is tucked into my Robert Lowell Selected Poems, a Xerox of which the original was clearly typed on a typewriter. And it says in the top right-hand corner, 10 copies for August, Thursday. It is a testimony to lifelong learning that upon reading the poem today, I realize that Lowell is addressing me ex voto, not Elizabeth Bishop, when he says blockhead, I think. Thanks, offering for recovery. The airy going house grows small tonight, and soft enough to be crumpled up like a handkerchief in my hand. Here with you by this hot bed of coals, I am the sensuel, free to turn my back on the lamp and work. Something has been taken off, a wooden winter shadow. Goodbye, nothing. I give thanks, thanks. Thanks, too, for this small Brazilian ex voto, this primitive head sent me across the Atlantic by my friend. A corkweight thing, to be offered Deo gratias in church on recovering from head injury or migraine. Now mercifully delivered in my hands, though shelved a while, unnoticing and unnoticed. Free of the unshakable terror that made me write. I pick it up, a head holy and unholy, tonsured or damaged, with gross black charcoal brows and stern eyes, frowning as if they had seen the splendor times past counting. Unspoiled, solemn as a child is serious, light balsa wood the color of my skin. It is all childcraft, especially its shallow chiseled ears, crudely healed scars lumped out to listen to itself, perhaps, not knowing it was made to be given up. Goodbye, nothing. Blockhead, I would take you to church, if any church would take you. This winter, I thought I was created to be given away.